Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
We almost missed our show.
Oh, I know. We were chatting.
And then I was like, oh my God, it's on.
It's 1 o'clock.
So funny.
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you about my last couple days. Today, I'm going to trump you, okay?
Oh, I'd like to hear it.
So, you know, the cats and getting the floors done.
Yes.
Oh, what an ordeal getting new floors throughout the whole house. Now, I have to say, I have to preface this, that this is a quality problem to have. The
right.
fact that I'm able to get new floors, can afford that, and have the luxury
sure.
to have that. So I'm not complaining about that. But just for people, when sometimes you undertake a house project of some sort, you have no idea mm-hmm. how much is involved in it. And of course, I loved our flooring people. I will give them a plug. Finnmark Flooring in Northridge. Amazing. Actually happens to be the husband of one of my best friends from middle school.
Oh my God, that's
yeah.
so funny.
So, I mean, and they did a fabulous job, you know, but everybody sort of undertells the story because they don't
of
want
course.
To get overwhelmed. So it's like, it's going to be fine. It's going to
yes.
be fine. Yeah, it's going to be fine in the end, but I'm the
of
one
course.
Who has to deal with all the not fine
yes.
stuff. So it's literally like doing a full-fledged move with furniture
oh.
in the garage and piled up and outside and having to box things to remember them because when they're done, to be able to get to those things
sure.
first. You know, but the cats, oh my gosh. Okay, so I found this adorable little place to stay with them. It's like a little
uh-huh.
mini studio apartment. The drive there, howling. Of course, they
oh.
don't like the cars. Howling. I'm like, oh, come on. It's just a short ride. It was very close to the house.
Yeah.
We got them in. They adjusted so quickly.
Oh, they
I
did.
Was so
That's good.
Surprised. But then the way back, oh, no. Now when they realize that those carriers are something
oh.
that they go back in the car with, they were not having it. And they were literally, like, one of them was on his back, getting his paws out through the little
no.
front cage thing, literally slamming it like he was like a closed prisoner. He was so angry,
oh.
so upset. And on the way back, they peed on themselves. And cats are like the cleanest animals on the
oh.
planet. So they pull them out of the crates. It's like, oh, they smell really bad. So
oh.
they had to have a bath on
After
top of
that.
It. And
oh
cats
God.
Hate the water. Well, these cats, they like to play with
yeah.
a little bit of paw water, but not
this,
in the
this
water.
This is so sad.
The poor little guys were devastated. Then they had to be relocked up into different rooms because
oh
they still
God.
Weren't done with the floor. We had 2 days of the demolition,
uh-huh.
but then, oh my gosh. So they are now cozy and comfy.
Good.
And they're okay. I don't know how Mama Bear's doing, but I think I'm going to
yeah,
be okay.
Exactly. No, it is. I completely get that. I am the type that needs organization. Like, it's not an OCD. It's more of like, I can't work in like claustrophobia. Like, I need things organized and not necessarily clean or neat, but just organized. So I get
I
that.
Clutter and disorganization is, I think it's really just bad for the spirit. You know,
yes.
it's like, wow, it's kind of how we, it's how I self-regulate is to know where things are,
yeah.
have them in place. I'm not a neat freak at all like my mom was, but I definitely
yeah.
have that I need sort of that. So now I'm just sort of, that's why I'm totally wound up. If I seem completely hyper, it's because I am. And of course I haven't been sleeping again. So
you well. Might be more hyper than me today.
I could be.
It might be.
I could be, yeah. So, like, eyes wide awake at 5 a.m., like, oh.
Well, I know. When I texted you at, like,
6:30,
and, like, you texted me back, and I'm like, oh, no, I woke her up. And
yeah.
you're like, no, I've been up. And I'm like, oh, my God. Felt so bad. I was like, you should have come over. Babysat
for
a
little party. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, how are you?
I'm breathing. I realized, too, like, I try to meditate every day, and I haven't been meditating as much, and it does. It affects me because I feel more tense. Like, it
mm-hmm.
just, you know. So, yeah, but I'm doing okay. Like, I'm getting my stuff done, and I knew this month was going to be a tough month, but I'm getting through it, and I'm excited for Halloween. I love Halloween.
Oh, I know, and I can't wait
yes.
to see what you all, your
yes.
surprise costumes.
Exactly.
This
yeah.
may be the first year that we've been in this house that we're actually going to stay home on Halloween and just give out the candy.
That's very relaxing.
Yeah, I like
yeah.
that. Yeah, to see all the little, we have some new kids in the cul-de-sac, so get to
Aww.
See some new costumes, and some of the kids moved away, which was sad, but, you know.
Right,
yeah.
sure.
That's so, fun. Well, we had a wonderful guest last week.
Yes.
We had Danilo Kawasaki, who's a certified financial planner, and he talked to us about the psychology of money and investing wisely and also retirement planning. I thought it was really valuable, some of the advice that he gave us, to be able to think about savings not as this ominous thing like people will think, well, I can't save. Look, if you save 5% of what you make, you're saving. And if you start early, you have a really good chance of not being in the position of so many people in retirement age that can't retire until they're 85 or 90, or if at all.
Well, it was really interesting when he said people come to him and they're like, okay, I'm ready to retire. And he's like, no, you're not.
Not even saved.
Exactly. Like, it is really interesting. And I think it is really interesting what he was talking about, how money for a lot of people is this like icky, scary topic. And so, yeah, I thought he gave a lot of great insight, and I really liked his calming demeanor.
Yeah, so he's from Gerber Kawasaki, and if you missed that show, he's also giving a, what was it, a free 20-minute consultation.
I think it was 30 minutes.
Was it 30? Oh, yeah. 30 minutes. A free 30-minute consultation.
With code Debra.
Yes, code
Debra. Because I'm chopped liver.
My name is infamous now. Debra. Okay.
Yeah. So can we talk about our freaking guest today?
Yes, we can.
I'm so excited.
Today, this was our surprise guest. We have Fran Drescher. That's right. Fran Drescher from The Nanny. Fran has a reputation for passion and commitment. She received 2 Emmy and 2 Golden Globe nominations for her portrayal as the lovable Miss Fine on CBS's hit series, The Nanny. One of my most favorite shows, by the way. Oh, my gosh. Which she both created and executive produced. TV Land aired the groundbreaking sitcom Happily Divorced, which she also created, executive produced, and starred in. The series was inspired by her own life. Fran played a woman sharing a loving relationship with her gay ex-husband. Okay. Are you online, Fran?
Hi, Fran.
Hi, it's Tyler for Fran.
Hi, Tyler for Fran.
Hi. Are you ready for her?
We sure are. We are just doing her bio and introducing her right now.
Okay, 1 second and I'll bring her right on. Okay.
All righty. Okay, drum roll.
Here she comes.
Hello.
Hey, Fran. Hi, this is Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist
Kelly.
Hi,
Dr. Debra. How are you doing?
I'm good. And Therapist Kelly's here, too.
How are you?
Oh, good. Hi, everyone.
So we were just saying how The Nanny was one of my all-time favorite shows ever.
Oh, how sweet. Isn't that lovely? Thank you.
Well, and you want to hear something really funny? I was talking with a good friend of mine, Sean, and I said, Fran Drescher's coming. And he said, oh, my God, Kelly, I had the biggest crush on her. Like, it was really funny.
How sweet.
It was really cute.
Oh, well, that's always nice to hear.
Well, you have the body to die for.
Oh, well. You know, it's not what it was on that show, I'll tell you that much, but I work at it, and I feel like I must lose some weight. I need to lose 10 pounds just to say I need to lose 10 pounds.
Hey, that's part of the LA way, isn't it? You'd be a weirdo if you didn't say that,
so
right?
It's so true, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Hey, do you ever look back on some of your roles when you were younger and say, wow, I was hot. I was really hot.
Oh, you know, I mean, I'm looking at so many things. Usually I'll say, wow, I was so thin.
Right.
Well,
but also,
you know, and then also I'm looking at my performance and stuff. I'm not really gauging myself as to being hot, although there have been a small handful of magazine spreads that I've done. Really high quality photo shoots where I really, you know, surprised myself that I looked, you know, like a model.
Right.
Well,
but I never felt like one.
Well, I want to ask you, we were talking about your bio and a 16-year uterine cancer survivor. So that must have completely changed you.
You know, it definitely put me on an unexpected path. But sometimes the best gifts come in the ugliest packages, and I didn't think I was going to become a leader in, you know, preventative health. I didn't know I was going to go to Washington and get a law made or be appointed a public diplomacy envoy by the State Department for health issues. But these were all transformative experiences that occurred as a result of trying to play the hand that's been dealt me, turn lemons into lemonade, and most important, pain into purpose, which I found to be very healing.
And we're going to find out much more about that in one moment as we thank our sponsor and have a word from Ian Oliver.
Okay. Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to consider using my relationship consulting services where I help people transition from being married to divorced to single, one of the most difficult transitions in life. You can check out some of this information on my website, secondchanceatromance.com. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them. And I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian, for making this show possible. Okay, Fran, tell us more about turning pain into purpose. I love that.
Well, you know, the thing is, we all kind of plan our play and play our plan. But then on some random Wednesday afternoon, when you get sideswiped either by bad news or a sudden, you know, shock or an accident, whatever it may be, poor health, and your life, as you know, it changes forever, you're going to go into a tailspin. You're going to start to mourn the death of the plan that you were playing because it no longer applies. But then at some point, you have to ask yourself, am I hurting myself more than I've already been hurt? And what I need to do is pull myself up, dust myself off, and play the hand that's been dealt me as courageously and elegantly as I possibly can. That's where turning pain into purpose becomes very useful, because it somehow helps to make sense out of the senseless.
Yes.
And I found this to be a wonderful road to coming back to a, you know, like a new reality, and living that truth now.
Sure.
So, you know, it's grappling with what is no longer. And at first, you're human. You're going to kick and scream and cry, say, why me, Lord? This wasn't supposed to happen to this loved one. This wasn't supposed to happen to me. I'm still too young for this to be happening, whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, nobody has a crystal ball. We make plans just to give some shape to our life and help us to decide on different choices. But there is no guarantee we're ever going to get there. And we have to kind of always be prepared that on any given moment, everything could change. So nothing is permanent. There are no guarantees. We don't have a crystal ball. Life is very ephemeral. We are extremely vulnerable. And we walk out in the street every day, and anything can happen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. I wonder if you could share with us, if you're comfortable with this, the moment that you received the diagnosis of cancer. I mean, that is like, that's to some people a worse word than the four letters, C-U, I won't finish the rest word. What went through your mind? What went through your heart? What were you thinking?
Well, you know, it took me 2 years and 8 doctors to get a proper diagnosis with uterine cancer.
Wow.
I got in the stirrups more times than Roy Rogers.
Oh, dear.
And when they finally told me, I dropped to my knees and wept. I thought, oh, this is, you know, taking way too long, and now I'm probably going to pay the ultimate price.
Oh.
And I really thought that I was going to die. And I, you know, the doctor who is my gynecologist said that it was, as far as she could tell, it was a baby cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she connected me with a gynecologic oncologist who I went to, and upon my sister who's, you know, has a doctorate in nursing, she said, you know, have the doctor, this doctor, take her own test. Don't have her chart out her course of action based off of the gynecologic doctor's office test. And I insisted on that. My sister did. The oncologist said, well, you know, if I have no doubt that you have this cancer. I said, I'm not doubting I have the cancer, but my sister said to do it. So we did it. Mm-hmm. And that night she called me and said, am I glad we listened to your sister? Because while the gynecologist seemed to take too superficial a tissue sample from the endometrial biopsy and was only picking up on cells that were grades 0 or 1, I'm picking up on cells that were grade 3 and 4.
Oh my.
And 4 is the worst. Mm-hmm. And a very mature,
yeah,
cancer. Now I'm concerned, and this is going to impact the way we do the hysterectomy.
Wow.
So I went in really not knowing whether or not I was, how sick I was. And not until I had a radical hysterectomy, they took out 40 lymph nodes, my appendix, and did a full cavity wash, as well as a removal of the cervix. And then the pathology report came back and said, the majority of the cells in the tumor were grade 2, mm-hmm, and the stage of the cancer was stage 1, meaning there was no penetration into the endometrial wall.
Oh.
It was just resting on top of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was absolutely no spread or anything like that. And so after a while of feeling sorry for myself, I decided to write a book so what happened to me wouldn't happen to other people, which became Cancer Schmancer, a New York Times bestseller.
Yep, right.
And then when I went on my book tour and my speaking tours, I realized that what happened to me by means of misdiagnosis and mistreatment, because over and over again they thought I was perimenopausal, and FYI, many women's gynecologic cancers are easily misdiagnosed for far more benign illnesses. Mm. For example, women with ovarian cancer, which is a much more aggressive cancer than uterine cancer, are often misdiagnosed for irritable bowel syndrome.
Wow.
Because at the cancer's earliest onset and most curable stage, it mimics irritable bowel syndrome almost identically. And since we are subjected to a medical community that's bludgeoned by health insurance companies to go the least expensive route of diagnostic testing, many doctors subscribe to the philosophy, if you hear hooves galloping, don't look for zebra, it's probably a horse. Mm-hmm. But if you happen to be a zebra, as I was, because I was basically, my profile was too young and too thin, mm-hmm, to have uterine cancer. But 25% of all women that do, that's 1 out of 4,
well,
are young and thin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it would have behooved me if doctor number one didn't say to me, you're too young for an endometrial biopsy, but instead said, let's rule out uterine cancer,
sure,
before I treat you for a more benign condition that's not a life-threatening thing at all.
Sure.
Right.
But that's not what happened. And that is, you know, over and over again, I discovered that Americans are being led down a wrong direction of misdiagnosis and mistreatment. And for many, though fortunately not myself, late-stage cancer diagnosis as an unfortunate consequence. So I started to formulate a vision, and I realized that the book was not the end, but just the beginning of what is now a life mission. And why isn't everybody being diagnosed in stage one when it's most curable? So early detection, catch it on arrival, 95% survival, became the cornerstone for what began the Cancer Schmancer movement. Then prevention became a key prong of the organization, because I realized that most physicians are practicing what's called reductionist medicine, a kind of medical practice that came out of war. So you look at the site that's sick and you try and patch that up.
Right.
Fix it, suppress symptoms, whatever it is. But you don't really ever think about what is the cause and how can I eliminate it. We are looking at a multi-trillion dollar investment in finding a cure for cancer since Nixon waged the war on cancer. And first of all, where's the cure? And second of all, why don't we figure out the cause and eliminate it so we don't get cancer in the first place? How's that for a cure?
Absolutely.
But there's not as much money in that, you see.
Right.
In fact, it will cut into some people's profit margin altogether. So it's better to keep a revolving door of sick people, keep taking, you know, donors' money to try and come up with some bogus cure, when, in fact, we continue to live in the toxic environment that we do, which is over 90% the cause of cancer. Why Cancer Schmancer fills a very unique space, because we challenge the way things are. We empower and motivate people to transform from being a patient into a medical consumer, and we are engaging people to take control of their body, recognize the early warning whispers, know the tests that are available because they may not even be on the menu at the doctor's office, and start detoxing your home, because the home is the most toxic place we spend the most time in and ironically have the most control over. If we don't start using our purchasing power to dictate manufacturing trends, we are going to continue to slip down this rabbit hole towards our own demise, and it's driven by manufacturing greed at the expense of everything that's precious to us: people, natural resources, our planet, and every living thing on it. So when tomorrow we have the Cancer Schmancer Health Summit at the Skirball Cultural Center here in Los Angeles, which is right on Sepulveda Boulevard. And I hope all your listeners are able to come, because what I'm going to do is blow your mind, share with you some of the most progressive speakers, experts in all different fields, from traditional cancer medicine to completely alternative that's out of a hospital in Tijuana, to environmental considerations, to mind, body, and spirit connection, to holistic health, to looking at the whole body as a system. It's all what the frontier we need to be moving up along in this 21st century to change this terribly unhealthy paradigm the United States is on, and to shift the trajectory into a much healthier daily lifestyle.
Well, it's really funny because your PR agent was talking to me and she got me into the whole natural deodorant. So I'm
That's right, Susan Cassell.
Yeah.
Fran, I went to middle school and high school with Susan Cassell.
Oh, that's so great.
She's awesome.
God, yes. You know, for years I called her by her maiden name.
Oh,
and
that's
I
right.
finally
that's
got used to calling her Sue Holland.
That's
which
right.
she doesn't, that's not even, that's her.
It's irrelevant now.
Name.
Yes.
But
she'll always
but
be
she's just marvelous. We all walk the talk and we're all committed to changing the way things are. If you realize that one out of two men and one out of three women are anticipated to get cancer in their lifetime. And the kids today, for the first time in U.S. history, are predicted to not live as long as their parents.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Babies are being born pre-polluted with 200 to 300 chemicals found in the umbilical cord.
Oh, my
and
God.
American women's breast milk has the highest percentage of flame retardant in it
from
any other woman on the planet.
That's very
this is frightening.
So really the jig is up and it's up to us. We can't wait for big business or big government to tell us what we need to do. We know, you know, listen to your inner voice. They're trying to dumb us down. They're trying to make us not think for ourselves. But if you listen to your inner voice, that's closest to your creator and your soul, and you will know that everything old is new again, and whatever you use should have an ingredient that might have grown in your grandma's garden. Whatever you eat has to be grown in a natural and organic way, not laden with pesticides and herbicides and genetically modified herbicide spliced in to these poor, perturbed plants. And we also have to look at the meats that we eat. Animals need to be grown in the way that God intended them to live. Pasture raised, grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, GMO-free, and they have to not be miserable from the moment they're born, because you are what you eat.
Absolutely.
And in the world of supporting the family farmer, the local farmer, the farmer who sustainably farms, the organic farmer, the farmer, the biodynamic farmer. This is the areas that we have to get back to. Industrial farming from the 20th century has to go. It's unsustainable.
Okay, Fran, hold that thought. We have more questions for you. We just have to hear from our sponsor and we'll get right back to you.
Okay.
Are you frustrated by the tremendous challenges that so many millions of people face in your dating life? If you are, we have your solution. Come talk to me, Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book, Getting Back on Top, and my website, secondchanceatromance.com. We can help you. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities. So it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them.
Welcome back. We are talking with Fran Drescher, and if you have a question for Fran, please feel free to call us at 323-203-0815. She's enlightening us and our listeners about cancer and prevention and foods. And it's so funny because if you think of just because the FDA says that something is legal, that somehow people interpret that to mean that it's actually good for
safe.
You.
Yeah.
And it's safe.
Exactly.
You know, it's such a, that's a ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, when we have to start realizing that, you know, where there's a lot of money to be made, you have to be suspicious in this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because greed, fueled by capitalism, has run amok. And, we have to dial it back, because these people simply do not care about us. And once you start realizing that there's a lot of money in sickness, so there's never going to be a cure. There's a lot of money in incarceration, so there'll always be crime. And there's a lot of money in war, so there'll never be peace. And this is the kind of way you have to view why there's so much wrong with the world, and where do you begin? Well, begin with yourself, and each one teach one. So learn how to gradually transform your life into a toxic-free one, because manufacturers don't want to kill us. They just want to sell us, but they'll sell us anything that we're willing to buy, which right now is anything. And we're getting used to chronic illness. We're getting used to knowing people that are dying of cancer, and children who have problems like learning differences that we never really saw before. Sure. And we're just, you know, accepting it. And we cannot accept it anymore, because it's all due to our toxic environment, well over 90% of it.
So since
only 5% of cancer is genetic.
I remember Susan saying that. Since you started the organization, can you tell us maybe some stories about kind of how people's lives have changed since, you know, you coming out with this mission?
Well, I have people all the time telling me, first of all, I made that doctor's appointment. I picked up the phone because I heard you speak. I saw you on a talk show. I read your book. I got that email from Cancer Schmancer. I went to the Cancer Schmancer, you know, health summit. You know, everything that we do is delivering messaging. Now, this health summit that we're doing tomorrow is going to benefit the completion of our Detox Your Home video targeting kids who need to get the messaging that they are, you know, being consumed by toxic stuff that's not serving them well. And they have to learn how to use. They're a big demographic of spenders, but they have to learn how to use their dollars to dictate manufacturing trends and to educate their parents and to put pressure on elected officials, because they're the next generation to start voting. So this is going to help us complete that, but we're very grateful to, you know, actor Jamie Foxx, who hosted the video that we produced, and I'm in it as well, and a bunch of kids are in it, and we have animation in it, and it's going to be an extremely viewer-friendly presentation that will eventually be on all outlets of social media, in schools, both in classroom and assembly, as well as after-school clubs.
That's awesome.
And, you know, why is this important? Because we don't want to make this prediction that they will not live as long as their parents for the first time in U.S. history, a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you could give us maybe a list of five common household items that if we all got rid of them, we'd have a good start. Like we learned about the deodorant. That was awesome. I went right away to Susan. Yay, Susan, for that. She was very persuasive, and it's in
the trash. I even got my husband on the natural deodorant, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. Okay. I mean, definitely, you know, walk away from the antiperspirant, because that's just making a really important body function prohibitive, which is detoxing and cooling. So, you know, if you did it to some dumb animal, smearing stuff on them that wouldn't allow them, their body to function naturally to detox and cool itself down, you'd have every animal rights, you know, organization on your back. But because we do it to ourselves, we mindlessly don't think about it. And I had a boyfriend who said, but I sweat. And I said, well, go to the men's room twice a day and wash your pits.
Exactly.
If your toothpaste has a poison control disclaimer on the back, walk away from the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Toothpaste should only be made of ingredients that are completely, that you can eat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You may not want to eat it, but if you ate it, nothing's going to happen to you or your child.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to look.
Household cleaning products, anything that has a long-lasting smell from the time you open it, mm-hmm. and 6 months later you open it and it still has that powerful pine smell,
yeah.
walk away.
Right.
Anything that has a long-lasting smell from room deodorizers, your perfume, mm-hmm. or your cleaning products, both personal care and household, if it has a long-lasting smell, walk away, because those smells are carcinogens.
Oh.
And if you open your refrigerator and you're eating a strawberry that's not organic, you might as well be eating a sponge soaked in pesticides. You want to do that? Because that's what you're doing. You got to look at everything that way. If a kid is eating 12 hot dogs a month, that's not that much. It's 3 a week.
Yeah.
He is increasing his risk of leukemia 9 times.
Oh, my God.
If your child is drinking sugary soda, A is increasing his chance of obesity exponentially,
right.
as well as diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So
then if you take that diet stuff, that also is a problem, because you're tricking the brain into releasing insulin because it thinks it's having sugar.
Right.
So you're screwing with your pancreas.
So do you think
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, do you think people are just really, they're just ignorant? They don't realize all of this, and once they realize it, they can make the changes? Or do you think it's part laziness? It's like, it's not that bad. Curious your viewpoint on that.
I think that the majority, we fill a very unique space in the health field, and most people are trying to convince you that they're very close to a cure. They're taking money from the polluters, from the poisoners, from the cause of the poor health. And by the way, that's true of most of our candidates running for office. Mm. If you're not looking at these things, you're living in a fool's paradise, because our elected officials, if they're taking money from the polluters, they're in servitude to them once they get elected. So you're going to wonder why nothing changes. Why did they talk a good game during the candidacy with all of their rhetoric, but where is the results? Well, you know, if you're investing in a company on the stock exchange that is not asking themselves these questions, how is this policy going to impact my employee, my customer, my community, and my environment before the shareholder, you're part of the problem. So when people think, I don't know what to do, it's all too big a problem, it's like it begins with you, and then each one teach one. You have no idea, if you make a shift in your energy and your consciousness, how far that ripple effect will go.
Yeah, I totally believe in that. Do you happen to have any statistics or information about what might currently be the healthiest countries on the planet in terms of diet and healthy lifestyle? Is there any data on that you're aware of?
Well, I was I learned, you know, and I don't know whether perhaps this has changed. I don't think it has. But I believe that the Tuscan diet of Italy is considered to be one of the healthiest because it's very produce and legume centric with small amounts of animal protein and all good fats,
right?
Olive oil being predominant, and even, you know, the fermented foods like wine, you know, doesn't have the preservatives in it that ours does. And a lot of the cheeses that they eat, like mozzarella cheese, is a water-based cheese. So it's not even an aged or fermented cheese.
That's it. I'm moving to Italy. So, you sold
I'm
me.
I'm right there with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. You sold me, Fran.
I think that that's the answer for that. And I think if you go to the World Health Organization website, you can see the list from the healthiest to the unhealthiest of countries. And we are unhealthy. Yeah. We are an unhealthy country. And we're just getting used to thinking that we need all these pills to keep us living longer while chronically ill. We have to look at indigenous cultures, which is something we're going to be talking about tomorrow too, because what people practiced 5,000 years ago is being forgotten. And we have to remember it. We have to remember what, you know, in people in India discovered, the way people ate in Asia, even the Middle East. You know, we have to look at those ancient cultures and how they mixed and combined their foods. There was a science behind it. And it's it behooves us to, you know, grab hold of these reins and start steering us as far away from the 20th century as we possibly could.
This is my moment of three cheers for my daughter, Tiffany, who has become an Ayurvedic practitioner, which is ancient Indian.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, so she's all about prevention and helping me learn new things, and it's really cool. Kelly, what did you want to say?
I was going to say, friend, before all this happened 16 years ago, did you think about health? I mean, were you a healthy eater, or it was just kind of, you know, just not, or was it on your radar? Just curious about that.
I thought I was healthy, but in actuality, there were a lot of things I didn't really realize.
Sure.
And I, subsequent to my, and definitely when it came to household cleaners and being very disciplined about organic products and organic foods, I wasn't thinking about that. Wild meat and fish or pasture-raised organic foods, all of that stuff came later, subsequent to my cancer survival, but also subsequent to needing to crack the code on why I had a lot of internal inflammation subsequent to my cancer surgery. And I hear this a lot with people, especially women who have had gynecologic cancer or women's cancers. And it's not really the cancer that is the cause. It's the surgery that often eliminates a lot of lymph nodes, which is our body's filtration system. They removed a healthy appendix, which also is important, now they're realizing, for your body's filtration system. And we don't really look at the body as a whole system, how to keep our liver clean, how to, if our skin is bad or breaking out or has skin problems, that's liver.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to a dermatologist and we get either antibiotics or something to suppress the symptoms.
Right.
But we're really not thinking about causation. That's liver. Liver and skin is one. We're looking at people that have all kinds of head concerns, whether it be, migraine headaches or Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, anxiety, sleep disorder, and we're not really connecting it to the fact that the head and the gut is one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're not looking at what's in the gut. How are we eating? What are we putting in our gut? Do we have enough probiotics? Are we helping our digestive process with enzymes? Are we eating foods in the right order? Nobody's asking these questions. And, these are the things we have to start looking at, the body as a whole system. So I was developing a lot of internal inflammation, and before I knew it, I had pleurisy, which is inflammation of the lung sac, pericarditis, which is inflammation of the heart sac, joint, pain, swollen hands. My knees hurt. I mean, I was a mess. And I went to a rheumatologist, a pulmonologist, a cardiologist, an intern, an allergist, you name it. Everybody had another prescription to suppress the symptom of the organ that they happened to specialize in. But nobody looked at the body as a whole system. I happened to be in Austria getting a Lifetime Achievement Award when I threw my back out and needed to see a doctor. When the doctor came to my hotel room, my hands were very swollen, which I had was connecting dots that it would get particularly inflamed when I traveled.
Mm.
And I showed her my hands in addition to dealing with my back. And I said, what do you make of this? She looked at it, I swear to you, for a minute, maybe not even, and said to me, I think you have an inability to metabolize histamines.
Mm.
And I said, what's that? I went to an allergist. This is not an allergy. This is your body's inability to metabolize histamines. I said, well, how do I deal with that? She said, here's my advice. Go online, download all the diets for no histamine diets. Print them up so that you'll have them in your purse at all times. Be very strict with yourself for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Only eat what's allowed on those lists. If all of your symptoms go away, that's your answer. And sure enough,
wow,
that's exactly what happened. And that got me onto the path of understanding about internal inflammation, why our bodies are responding this way. And all I keep seeing on TV are, fibromyalgia,
yeah,
arthritis, all of this stuff. This is all inflammation. Well, first of all, cancer is the end stage of inflammation. So we want to arrest inflammation when it's still, just inflammation. And then we have to figure out what is causing the inflammation, not try and suppress it.
Wow.
And Fran, what's causing it is, A, your body produces histamines when it's exposed to a lot of toxins. So that's one way to get histamine overload.
And we're going to have to stop right on that one way because we're out of time. My gosh, that went so fast. Thank you so much for all of that wonderful and valuable information. And tomorrow, October 26th, Wednesday the 26th, you are presenting the Cancer Schmancer Second Annual Health Summit at the Skirball Cultural Center in Los Angeles. Thank you, Fran, so much.
Thank you. Have a great day, ladies. Thanks to your listeners for their support. I hope to see them tomorrow.
Wonderful.
All right, and let's give one last word to our sponsor.
Yes.
Are you frustrated by the tremendous challenges that so many millions of people face in your dating life? If you are, we have your solution. Come talk to me, Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, and my website, secondchanceatromance.com. We can help you. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities. So it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Fran, for having been our great guest. And next week we have Susanna Brisk. Is it the author's book title?
Yes, she's a sexual intuitive. It's really neat. Okay. So I can't wait for that. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.